A battery. I have no power. Oh no. All right. I think we're on now, right? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Just to kind of let you know, I'm sure most of you have heard the news and that R.C. Bechtel passed away on Friday. I had the opportunity to go visit with him on, I think it was Wednesday, I went over there and they called me on Friday and went over and prayed with the family. So his service is going to be Saturday, this coming Saturday, at 1 here. And also, most of you probably know that Vicki Johnson's father passed away. And that service is tomorrow in Lamont at the Methodist Church. That's at 10, I believe. All right, and also, just by way of advertisement, how many of you look around and see the Christmas stuff? See it? Well, it ain't going to be for much longer. So, they're going to take this all down right after church, and I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, if you could just stick around for a little bit, and let's all work together and get this down. It'll take about 20 minutes. I need some guys, as soon as we get done, to go in the former associate's office and get the boxes, bring them out, we'll fill them up and put them back in, and we'll go home. Lock up and go home. So, all right? So if you could help me, I'd sure appreciate that. Be a good thing for us all. I know it. Everybody came, and we put it up, and it took just a short time, so we get it down pretty quick. All right? Let's pray. Father, open the Word, open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to see exactly what You would say today. Be with me to help me say what You've laid on my heart to say in a way that we can hear it. So, Spirit, take our words. And make them be seed in our heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, some of you might know that one of my favorite seasons in the Christian year is the season of Epiphany. Epiphany was Thursday. It's January 6th, and it's the day that we, the church, for a long time, have celebrated a couple things, a couple announcements, a couple revelations of who Jesus is into our world. Sometimes we talk about the coming of the wise men, or we talk about the baptism of Jesus, and basically the concept of Epiphany. And I personally, for my own self, like to go through the Christian calendar because you walk through the life and the events of Jesus. I kind of figure they did it in the Old Testament, you know, different things that God did. They had feasts and festivals and things, and so why can't we do that ourselves? Now, I know not everybody thinks that way, but I like that, so I kind of do that. And so Epiphany is kind of a special season to me because the word Epiphany specifically means, this is the definition for Epiphany. It comes from the Greek roots, and it means to show, to display, and upon something. So Epiph is the upon, Phani is to show, okay? So what God is doing in Epiphany is He is showing something about somebody or something. Okay? So like I said, we sometimes celebrate the coming of the wise men, the magi, and how this is, I mean, I don't know if you think about this, but these dudes weren't Jewish. You know, these were pagan worshipers, and they started in the stars and started hearing the prophecies, and I don't know exactly, they may have heard some of that stuff when Israel was captive in parts of the region that they are from. And they started looking for this. And next thing you know, there's this star in the sky. And they started following it. And as they following it, they knew in their life that this was going to be the true and real king. So the epiphany to the wise men were that they came and they were going to find and see and worship the real king in Israel. Which to me is from the start to the Jewish world needed to have a wake-up call, all right? Because here are some pagans from the Gentile world who are looking for Jesus in a way that the Jews were not looking for Jesus. And so to me, the epiphany is Jesus has come not just for the Jews, but for the world. And how many of you know we are Gentiles, and thanks be unto God. Amen? The other thing we talk about sometimes at Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus. You know, Jesus came and He walked down among the crowd and He was to be baptized by John the Baptist. And most of you know that you've heard the events of that. He walks up, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus walks down into the water. As he's baptized, he comes up out of the water, and the Father says, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Oh no, but it just thundered. No, that was God speaking. So we see in that, I think that's pretty cool. He came, you know, they were coming to John the Baptist, and I'm not preaching a sermon on this, okay? I'm just kind of getting to the points here. They came to John the Baptist for a baptism of repentance. They were having to change their mind about God because they had mixed up views about God. So John the Baptist was saying, look, if you want to see the kingdom, if you want to understand, if you want to experience the kingdom, you have to repent. You have to change the way you think. And here's a baptism that shows that you're changing the way you think. So Jesus comes to be baptized. Did Jesus have to repent? I mean, not only did he not have sin, but he even had the right idea about God. Jesus did not have to be baptized. So when John the Baptist said, I should be baptized by you, Jesus said, no, this fulfills all righteousness. This makes things right. Why? Because Jesus identified with us in our sinfulness so that he could be baptized, so that he could, as the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world, and then on the cross could pronounce us, "Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they're doing." So to me, these are great epiphanies. These are great manifestations, a showing upon who Jesus is. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he is the one who identifies with our humanity so that he who had no sin could be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's good news. We could go, woohoo, rejoice and go home, right? No. You see, this week, I really spent some time. I've really been trying to, I didn't have a resolution, but I've really been trying to spend a little more time with Jesus in this new year. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that I am with stuff that's going on. But I've been spending more. So I've been reading a lot of the Gospels here lately. And I was reading this week in my quiet time, John chapter 9. And I started thinking about, you know, it was right before Epiphany. And I started thinking about Epiphany is Jesus having the light shined upon him. He's manifested as these things. But then what do we do about that? What is our response when the light shines in our life? And so I saw in this story in John chapter 9 of Jesus healing the man born blind, I saw an individual who had the reality of who Jesus was manifested to him. Also, there was another group involved who had the same reality manifested to them, and they've handled it differently. And that's what I want to walk through this morning. I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but I want to walk through this. Let's look at John chapter 9. Now, I am going to read a lot of John chapter 9, so if you're open there, you can follow me. We will cover most of this chapter, okay? So let's start. As he walked along, we're talking about Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, that was a predominant view, that if you had some malady, you had some problem, you had something like blindness, or you were crippled in some way, it was because of sin. Now, you have to remember that because that's the setting that this is in. People in those days, you had something wrong, you had sin in your life. That's what the Pharisees taught, that's what they believed. Jesus answered, verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Now let me say something here. I don't believe God birthed him blind, but because he was blind, God wanted to do a work here, all right? God makes all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You follow me on that, okay? That's another sermon itself too, but anyway. "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. as long as I am in the world. Now, hear this. This is Jesus. By the way, let me say this. Where was the man when he was talking about this? He's right there. So he's hearing the disciples ask this question. He's hearing Jesus' response, and he hears Jesus say this, that we must do the work of God. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do you think there's something in this guy that's kind of going, what? Huh? As long as I'm in the world, when he had said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. That is so cool. You say, oh, wait a minute. Okay, this is this is just what I think. How many of you know where we came from? Dust. Exactly right. I'm thinking this guy was born and didn't have eyeballs. Yeah, ooh. But what Jesus did is he took some dust of the earth with saliva from the Son of Man, and he made eyeballs, and he stuck them in, and he went and washed the mud to reveal the eyeballs that had been created within him. That is cool! I don't know about you, but I like that. Well, where am I at? Verse 8. So the neighbors and those who had sent him before him, had seen him as a beggar, began to ask, hey, wait a minute, isn't this guy used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he, yeah. Others were saying, no, it's just someone that looks like him. By the way, can you see this conversation happen today? Yeah. And I love it. How many remember the commercial where the guys, they're talking about this, and he said, this is me. You know, that's what this happening here. Somebody there, he's coming back. He's got his eyes open now. He can see, and someone say, oh, no, that's not the guy. Looks just like him, but that's not him. Yeah, I think it is. And he's going, hey, this is me. Yes. Okay. And then he tells the story. He retells the story, how that happened. So, when he tells them about Jesus and he'd received a sight, they said, well, where is he? And he said, I don't know. So, when you got something going on you don't know in that day, guess who you call? You call the Pharisees. Now it gets interesting. Okay? They brought him to the Pharisees, and the man who had formerly been blind, here's the kicker, verse 14. Now, it was the Sabbath. Jesus, can't you just do your work 6 other days of the week? Why do you have to do stuff on the Sabbath? Most of you know that's how Jesus got in trouble all the time. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees also begin to ask, how is it that you have received your sight? So, he tells them the story again. You know, it happened to him. He's already told it once. He's telling it again to the Pharisees. All right? So then the Pharisees, I'm just going to say this up front. You can sense in me, this guy has been healed, right? He who is blind now can see. I'm going to rejoice a little bit in that. I have this morning. Okay? The Pharisees should rejoice a little bit. But they're more concerned that some dude has done something on the Sabbath and they got to get him because he is a sinner. Okay? Now, I'm setting that up, okay? You understand? But others were saying, this man's not from God because he doesn't observe the Sabbath. Others saying, how can a guy can do this and not be from God? So they went to the blind man again and said, what do you say about him? He said, well, I say he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, so they called his parents and said, and I'm just going to walk you through this pretty quick. They called his parents and said, hey, was he born blind? And his parents say, yep. Well, how can it be that he saw? And you know what the parents did? They were kind of afraid of the Pharisees. So they said, ask him, he's of age. And they walk out. So guess what they do? They ask him again. But this time, I'm just going to cut short. This time, when he tells them, he says, why do you want me to tell this to you again? Do you want to become his disciples? Not only can this dude see, but he can see. And that's the comment right there that makes me realize that he can see and see. Because he realizes what's going on here. Why? Because the Pharisees don't want to have anything to do with Jesus because he's a sinner. Because he's done something on the Sabbath. And so they begin to start asking a bunch of questions and they start dealing with that and they're saying, oh, he's a sinner. He can't. And they have this kind of controversy and finally they just kick him out. And so this thing begins to happen. But what I want to do is I want to get to this thing toward the end. Do you see the thing here that's happening? You know, I mentioned earlier that there was an epiphany right here. That this man, who then didn't see, now could see, found out that Jesus was the Son of God, or the Son of Man, the descendant of David. And the Pharisees, who should have probably rejoiced at the fact that he can now see, were more trying to figure out why he did what he did, and let's don't let this guy have any avenue in. Don't leave him foot in the door. This guy's a sinner. We got to shut him out. We got to keep him out. And we got to shut this guy up. So you go away and they start dealing with Jesus. Okay. I think this is interesting. Let's pick it up at Bible turned. Now I got to find my place all over again. At verse 35. When Jesus had heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And his answer, and I love this, his answer was, and who is he, sir? Tell me that I might believe in him. Jesus said, this is what stopped me this week. Jesus said, you have seen him. Now stop right there. How many people had this guy seen? I'm so tired of this. How many people had this guy seen? He had just been healed, so he had seen the people after he came and washed his eyes and washed the mud away. He saw them, right? None of them probably were because they were asking all these kinds of questions. You know, how did this happen? Who did this? So it's not them. The other people he saw was his parents. Wouldn't that be cool? To, for the first time, see the people who raised you? It's amazing. I mean, there's all kinds of little caveats in here of things. The Pharisees, he saw the Pharisees. Were they him? No. So Jesus says, standing before him, says, I am he. I am the Son of Man. Now, that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go into that. But he says, here I am. I am the Son of Man. Now, notice what Jesus says here. Jesus says, you have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he bowed down, or he worshiped him. And Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see will become blind. Now, I'll stop right there. This judgment, you remember back in John chapter 3? In John chapter 3, let me find my place here. Where am I at? In John chapter 3, verse 19, just a few chapters earlier than this, Jesus makes this statement. He says, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For all who do evil love the light, hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that it can be clearly seen that their deeds are done in God. Here's a principle, a spiritual principle that Jesus brought to us. He came and he shined light into this darkness, and what people did with it is the judgment. Are you following me on this? The judgment that he's talking about here with the guy that's healed born blind. In John 9, he's talking about, I have come to judge the world. What is the judgment? The judgment is, he shines light, and what they do with it determines where they're going to go with it. Does that make sense? Okay. Now let's remember. When John the Baptist came on the scene, I talked about this earlier. What did he say? Repent, for except ye repent, you will not see the kingdom. Except you repent, you will not enter the kingdom. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, except you're born from above, you're not going to see the kingdom. I want to talk just very briefly about that word to enter and to see. Literally, I don't think Jesus is fully talking here about going to heaven. I think sometimes in the church we have that idea that it's all about getting saved and going to heaven. And we take verses and we make them fit that thinking rather than hear what the verse is saying and then thinking from that. You see, the concept of entering the kingdom is actually to experience the kingdom, to see the kingdom. Jesus is saying, except you start thinking differently, you're not going to see what I'm up to. Are you following me on that? It's not just, yes, one of these days we're going to go to heaven. But let me tell you, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is now. It's not someday in the future.
Delighted.
Okay. All right. The kingdom, I'm sorry, this just... can't do that anymore today. I've got something important to say, and I don't like holding the mic, but I am not going to fish with that. The kingdom of heaven is something that Jesus brings to the earth. He told us. He said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not about getting up there and having all the stuff. It's about being down here and repenting and changing our mind and seeing the things that God's doing down here in our midst. For the kingdom of God is among you, Jesus said in another place. All right? So when we talk about this, the kingdom of God, we talk about light shining, and what you see and what you do with it determines how you're going to live your life in the kingdom. Amen? What you're going to see and what you're going to not see. So when Jesus is showing this man and talking to this man that he's healed, he now sees not just physically, but he now sees the reality of who Jesus is. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Show him to me and I will. Jesus said, you have seen him, and I, who am speaking to you, I am he. Now let's look at this. I want to get into this in a little bit. Let's go on with this. Verse 39. Jesus said, I came into the world to judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. That's reiterating the John 3:19 that I talked about. But then this happens, verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Now let's stop right there. Because I did some research this week on the Greeks, in the Greek. And this question, can I just be technical with you for just a brief second and then I'll get away from it. This question in the Greek uses the interrogative particular.
and the Greek language. And what that literally means is that it's a question that asks but assumes a negative answer. In other words, the question is asked, you're not saying we're blind, are you? Knowing that Jesus, because of their righteousness and holiness, because they weren't blind, because they have no sin, they ask that assuming Jesus is going to say, oh no, I'm not talking about you all. You ever do that? You're talking to somebody and you're kind of down on something, you're saying something, they go, well, you don't mean us, do you? Oh no, not you. It's kind of like preachers when they preach a sermon. Now, I'm not talking about you all. That's what an interrogative particular is. It indicates that they were expecting a no answer. In other words, you're not saying we're sinners, are you? Well, of course not. That's what they wanted. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin is still with you. Oops. I mean, not only did he heal on the Sabbath, but he basically called the Pharisees sinners. Uh-oh. You see, there's some other things that's going on here. And this is what I want to get into. This is what I want to talk about. You see, Jesus had an issue sometimes with religious people. Because sometimes they wanted to do their religion to be seen, but it wasn't really a part of them. So we see in Matthew 23, Jesus saying things like, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cross the sea and land to make a single convert, and you make a new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. You clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside you're full of greed and selfishness. You are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of bones of the dead and all kinds of filth. So also you on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Whew. Now notice what's happening here. Remember, don't start saying, don't get down with me and start thinking things I'm not saying. I just want you to hear this. Jesus said, when the light shines, what you do with the light says a lot about you. So here's the guy born blind. What did he do? He saw the light. He saw Jesus. He believed in him. His life was radically changed. Amen? Here's the Pharisees who saw the light and fought it and ran from it and even asked questions expecting that that light would yield to their light and affirm and confirm them. And when he didn't, I mean, not only did he heal on the Sabbath, but he called them sinners. You call us a sinner? You calling me a sinner? You're a sinner. I mean, that's the kind of conversation that probably went on. So here's the question. And Jesus, and this is another thing, you know, that question they ask, but the way that this word, your sin remains, is constructed in the Greek and with some of the early church concepts and commentaries, they had developed, and I'm going to say this as gently as I can, the Pharisees had developed a system of discussion, a system of commentary, a system of ways of thinking that they talked about at the coffee shop. It was on their news channels. They had developed a way to keep them in the darkness and to think that in the darkness they were in the light. Are you following me what I mean? Here, let me read something the commentator said, and this might make it clearer. Not only were they wrong, but they had constructed a system within which they were shielded from seeing that they were wrong. It is one thing to be genuinely mistaken and to be open to new evidence, new argument, and new insight. It is another to create a closed world like a sealed room in which no light, no fresh air can arise or come from the outside. That's what the Pharisees had done. Is they had created a system that would not allow any light in. They believed that.